and welcome to 100 Podcasts. And Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Today, we're doing the final of our retention specials. Retention deadline day is almost upon us, and we've been going through every single 100 franchises, men's and women's side, to take a look at who we would retain if we were in charge. The final podcast, it's all about the Trent Rockets. And Charlie, there is so much to unpack with this side. I cannot wait to get stuck in.
Absolutely. Some really big names in both men's and women's teams. We've made some pretty big calls, I think it's fair to say, particularly in the men's side. There might be some surprising omissions, which I think we're going to get into very, very soon. But yeah, stay tuned because we've got some interesting decisions here.
Let's go with the men's side. Let's lead with the biggest controversy. We've released Rashid Khan. Now, I don't think this is as big a controversy as it should be. Look, Rashid Khan is the best T20 player in the world and will probably be seen as the greatest T20 player of all time at some point in his career. However, he's barely played a game for them and he's going to have terrible availability this year. Afghanistan's schedule is not beneficial to the 100, so he's barely going to play. He might not even step on the field for them if you keep it this year. And that now becomes three seasons, basically, where two seasons he hasn't played and one season he barely played. You're going to have to replace him, if you do keep him at the 125K bracket, with someone who's not going to be drafted. I just don't think you can really, as good as Rashid Khan is and as loyal as he is to franchises, which is kind of why you want to stick him around, because if he will play for you, he absolutely will. I don't think you can justify keeping someone who's not going to play for you again.
It's really tough, isn't it? Because the only reason you'd keep him for this season is so you can then retain him next season. But what if you run into the exact same issue again? What if next year Afghanistan's schedule is equally packed during August and he doesn't have a chance to play again? How many seasons can you justify paying the top salary for a player who isn't going to play for you? And no matter how good they are, even if it's Rashid Khan's level, it becomes quite hard to justify. So it's a really tough decision because Rashid Khan is so good that we're having this discussion, even if he's not going to play. I mean, that speaks volumes about his level. But at some point, you probably have to say, sorry, Rashid, you're not going to play. So we're going to let you go and use that slot better. I just think you're going to get better value in that slot with someone who's actually going to play.
Yeah, I think that's key. And look, availability is the best ability here. Let's be honest. And let's say the Trent Rockets won the title without him last year. And there's a window for this Rockets side. Let's be honest. You've got a lot of experienced players here. Hales, Milan, Samet, Monroe. These players are not going to be around forever. I get that the Super Kings have done it, but there is a window with this franchise that you need to capitalize on. And that top pick could be a Gunn Seamer, Anrik Nohaya. It could be Kagiso Rabada. It could be a range of different players who are going to play and are still really special and really great. Now, I think if you're the Trent Rockets and you've won a tournament last year and you have the ability to go back to back, you've got to think short term sometimes. You've got to say, this is our window. Let's just get on with it. So I think for me, that's the correct decision. And it's a difficult one. We don't want to let Rashid Khan go, but I think it's the right one. Now, there's another big release for the Rockets. We'll get into it in a moment. But let's just outline, first of all, what we've got. So Joe Root, centrally contracted player. We're keeping Dawid Malan at 125K. I think given what he did last year, deserves that. Alex Hales, 100K. Luke Wood at 75K. And we promoted Samet Patel to 75K now. Samet might have accepted 60K. However, I think we just believe he deserves it. So we've bumped him up there. Keeping Colin Monroe at 60K, which is a pay decrease, but I think it's probably right for him. I think he'd probably take that for the certainty of getting a gig. Sam Cook, we're keeping at 50K, and then Tom Moores and Ben Mike at 30K. So we released a few different players, Tonko Lekabmor, for example, who they brought in for big money. But let's be honest, the big name here is that we're letting Lewis Gregory go. Now, it's not a certainty that we'd absolutely want to get rid of Lewis Gregory, but I don't think he's worth 75K anymore. I just think he's getting to that stage of his career where, you know, he clearly is a decent captain, but just you can't take a look at his stats from last year's Blast and think that's someone we're keeping at 75K. Let's just go through those stats briefly. In the Blast, average of 12, striker of 121, 15 wickets, 8.94. He did take wickets last year at a good stretch for them. But then in the 100, his bowling was just not up to scratch and not up to 100 level. He had a bit more success with the bat, but he batted very infrequently and it was basically one innings. So you just think his bowling's not up to it. His batting's not really the same. We love Lewis Gregory. This is a pro Lewis Gregory podcast. However, I think in the brutal world of franchise cricket, sometimes you have to know the right time to move on.
Look, I have been a Gregory fan over the years. I think we both have. At his prime, he was such a good finisher. I loved watching him take games away with the bat coming in at 5 or 6, hitting pace. But it's been evident for a while now that he hasn't really been at that level for a while. He's been declining. And at some point, you have to make that decision to let him go. I would keep him for 60K personally, but he's not going to accept that being their title-winning captain. He's not going to accept the pay cut. So he's going to have to go.
Yeah, it's really brutal. I don't love making that decision personally. We're such big Lewis Gregory fans. And he's only 30, I think, is the other thing. He's declining relatively early, you'd say. But I don't think you can look at this and make that decision to play him, basically. I don't think you can look at the statistics that we have and say he's worth that. Just my opinion. We love Lewis Gregory, and maybe we might be just sending him a bit early, but all signs say that he's on the decline. And if he doesn't have his bowling and he's not batting a great deal because he's a strong top order, I think you can use your draft picks better than keeping Gregory, especially when Samet deserves a pay rise. So, difficult decision, but I think it's one that, as franchise owners, we have to be ruthless. We have to think about the best thing for the team. It's the same with Rashid Khan. If we're jettisoning Rashid Khan, let's be clear here. We're going for a title. So, you know what? You can probably find another captain here. Colin Munro might be a decent enough captain. You could maybe give it to Darren Millan. You could maybe give it to the big overseas name you're going to bring in. You know, I think this is the right decision. Now, I think with the Rockets, I mean, what you've got here is you've got Hales, Millan, Root, Munro. There's some good batting players there. Luke Wood and Sam Cook, bowling lineup. They do now, having let Gregory go and obviously not being able to keep Rashid Khan, there are some gaps to fill. So whilst there are some, you know, there are some really good players here, Charlie, they are going to have a strong draft to turn this around. Thankfully, again, they have the capital. They have a first round pick. They have a round 3 pick. They have a round 7 pick. Plenty of picks down the draft. But they are going to have to use them very cleverly.
They are. You'd say they need a gun spinner to replace Rashid Khan. That won't be easy. They need a gun seamer, maybe one who can bat as well, because you look at Wood and Cook, neither of them really offer you a great deal with the bat. Maybe Daniel Sam has a potential to come back later down the order. Maybe they use their RTM on him lower down. He's a decent all-round option. But maybe they want to be looking for a gun specialist seamer. That might be the way they look to approach this. Maybe Marco Jansen comes into the picture there as a very high potential left-arm seamer who can bat. We've seen in the SA20 recently just how destructive he can be with a bat coming in at 6 or 7. So maybe that's an option for them. Or maybe they want to go really hard early doors to get some really quality domestic players. David Willey, for example, could land there. They could go Jason Roy as well and have a very, very powerful top order of Hales, Roy, and Millan. That might really interest them. So they do have the flexibility with those early picks. They do need to fill some holes, but overall, I feel like they're in a pretty solid position.
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to have to nail this. And I think it does become difficult when you're letting your captain go, you're letting Rashid Khan go. They are going to have to nail this, but they have the ability to do so. And as you say, Jason Roy, that'd be a great top three. Potentially, if Roy can rediscover some form, then, you know, that opens up the fact that you don't really need an overseas batter in that situation. So obviously, you've got Root coming in as well, got a bit of Colin Munro. So you could maybe go in for that gun all-rounder and then that gun spinner. That could really open things up. And I think with, obviously, the versatility that Samet provides you, there's a lot to work with here. I'm not as confident in this side as I am with others, but they can certainly make this work. I think any caveat we should have, of course, is that we never think the Trent Rockets are good, and they are. So that's what we're working with here. But I'm feeling relatively confident. You feeling relatively confident heading into 2023?
Relatively, yes. I do think they've got holes to address if they take our route. But I think the core of last season's squad is still very much there. And I think we always slightly underrate them here, just because I don't think we like their vibe very much as a team. But clearly they have something that makes them work. And I think I should probably start to accept that now. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty decent about this team.
Let's move on to the women's side then. And this is an interesting situation for them, I think, the women's side, because there are two players you are absolutely keeping at the top price bracket, Nat Silverbrunt and Catherine Silverbrunt. Obviously, you want to keep those two players. Nat Silverbrunt, one of the best players in the world. Catherine Silverbrunt offers so much with bat and ball still. Two players you absolutely want to keep. They're keeping them in the top slots. Alana King also want to keep around. You maybe think maybe she wants that top bracket, but if you can keep her in round 3 and 4, that'd be fabulous. One of the best leggies in the world. You feel pretty confident about that. I think those three picks, before we get into the fourth one, Charlie, we feel very strong about.
100%. I don't think anybody could realistically disagree with anything that we're putting in there. I think the Silverbrunts, you have to keep both quality operators, and Alana King, world-class leg spinner. Mia, maybe she could definitely command a higher price bracket in the round 4-1, but you've got to try and keep her because she is absolutely world-class. So if you can lock down those three players, you are already in a very good position.
You absolutely are. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've got that, gun seamer and a bit of batting as well with Catherine Brunt, Nat Siver. You've got so much quality with bat and ball. I mean, the bowling side of it hasn't been as strong in recent years, but you just know what she can be with the bat. She's fantastic. You have one of the best leg spinners in the world. Just a fantastic situation to find yourself in. The fourth player is where this gets slightly complicated, because you'd love to keep Sarah Glenn around. Obviously, the issue is, because you've got Nat Silverbrunt and Catherine Silverbrunt there, you can't keep a third centrally contracted player, which means you have to let Sarah Glenn go. So in terms of the fourth player we're keeping, there's a decent amount of debate here. There's some other players that you might fancy keeping around, some young players like Alexa Stonehouse, Emma Marlowe maybe. We ended up going with Bryony Smith. Adds a bit of something with her off breaks, and then offers something with the bat as well. We always talked about the Rockets being a very top-heavy team, so I don't feel fantastic about the options they have for that not centrally contracted domestic player as the fourth player to be retained. But I think this is probably the right decision. And given it's round 8, it's probably good value.
I agree. I think Bryony Smith has a lot of value in that position. I don't think she's necessarily a world-class elite player, but when you look at the domestic options they have, I think she's probably the standout choice. They have been very reliant on the Silverbrunts and Alana King over the last season or two. I do think they're a team that really got a lot of mileage out of those gun players, and then maybe quite haven't had contributions elsewhere they would have liked. So it's a good opportunity in general for them to refresh that a little bit. But Bryony Smith, for me, is the name that stands out that I think would add some value from the domestic players they have. Losing Sarah Glenn, though, is going to be a bitter pill to swallow, because that is such a shame. What a player to lose.
Yeah. What is good, though, obviously, with the players they've retained, is that they all offer really valuable skill sets. So, again, gun seamer, gun leggy, gun all-rounder, and some great batting in there. Bryony Smith's a nice player to have in round 8. So I do feel really good about this. Obviously, it does mean they're not going to have a pick in round 1 or 2, so your first pick's going to be in round 3. But overall, you have to feel fantastic about the players you're keeping if you're the Trent Rockets. And let's be honest, I don't think there's really a great deal of debate to be had beyond this. So what are your thoughts on the Trent Rockets women's side hanging into 2023? Still feeling confident, or do we think that top heaviness might bite again?
I think this is a great chance to refresh that top heaviness a little bit. I feel like they've got three quality players in Catherine and Nat Silverbrunt and Alana King, and Bryony Smith adds value too as a solid domestic option. I feel like there's something to work with. I do think they are slightly hurt by not having a round 1 or 2 pick. I think that is a shame for them, but that does mean that they've got the Silverbrunt and Alana King. So, yin yang, I probably take that, all things considered. I think this is a good chance for them to have a little bit of a refresh and hopefully find a team balance that contributes 1 to 11.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to work that out. I wonder if they, you know, obviously I think they're probably going to want to establish some good overseas alongside with Alana King. Probably looking at a top order batter, you'd think would be nice. But I'm interested to see, depending on what domestic players fall to them in round three, whether they wait on some overseas to try and build that domestic core, which has obviously been their Achilles heel, as you say. Yeah, feeling pretty confident, but there's some work to be done in this draft. And I do think if they are going to contend, they need to get that work right and they need to address that balance. Anyway, that's the final of our retention specials. Thank you so much for listening. I imagine you've listened to every single minute of every single one, but if you haven't yet, all through our feed, you can find the retention specials for every single team in the 100 heading into deadline day. We're so excited to see which players get retained, which get released. We know that we're going to have made some mistakes. There's going to be some players who are on the move that we didn't think about, and we cannot wait to break that all down. We'll have a special retention reaction podcast coming out soon, and then heading into the draft season, we're going to be full guns blazing. We can't wait to get mock drafts going, to talk draft strategy, to work out how these teams are going to approach it, especially with two drafts this year. That becomes so, so exciting. So really buzzing for it. Check out our feed. Check us out on Twitter at Podcast 100 for all the good stuff. But for now, thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you next time.